Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host this afternoon. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Today, we will be looking at the two cases out of Florida, Kaylee Anthony and Haley Cummings. It has been a busy week in both cases, and there is plenty to talk about. As always, our switchboard is open, and that number is area code 646-378-1120, and we do welcome your questions and comments. But I do ask that once you've asked your questions that you please disconnect. We do have a bit of a limited switchboard at the moment, and we are working on rectifying that. Our chat room is also open, and you're welcome to ask your questions in there. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have the news director and ace reporter for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Also from Florida, we have investigator William Cobra Storbs. Cobra, how's it going?
Simon, always a pleasure, brother. How you doing, TJ, Jan, everybody? How you doing?
Hey. Hi, Cobra. Fine here.
And from New York, we have crime writer Denny Griffin. Denny, always good to talk to you.
Glad to be back with you, Simon, and the rest of the folks.
Let's start with a quick update on the Kaylee Anthony case. Jan, what happened last week?
Well, there was a little interesting hearing held Friday for the judge to hear the motions that the defense team and the prosecution had filed. The first one was that the defense had filed a motion to get the murder charges and the child abuse charges dropped against Casey. But luckily, our good judge, Strickland, denied that rule, that motion, saying, Linda Crane Burdick called it a farce, saying that the motion was legally flawed and insufficient, and apparently the judge did agree with her. Then, let's see, the prosecution had filed a motion also, and they wanted the defense team to cough up the evidence that Macaluso had claimed that they can prove that Casey's body, well, the remains that was left of her, not Casey, but Kaylee, that her remains were put there where they were found after Casey went to jail, not before, so therefore she couldn't have done it, which I don't think that makes any sense either, but they said that the prosecution said that their agreement was that to share their evidence that requires them to produce such findings. But then Baez argues that the burden to share the evidence is up to the prosecutors, not them. And he says he isn't required to tip his hand in any possible defense strategy. But the judge didn't agree with that either, so he ruled against the defense team yet again and said that they have to produce the evidence that Macaluso claims that they have. But the funny part is he gives them a deadline to come up with it, not until February 1st. It's a little over 3 months from now. I don't understand why it would take somebody so long to come up with such evidence if they claim they already have it. Why would it take them that long to present it to the prosecution if they claim that it will definitely prove that she's innocent? I don't understand what it's over 3 months. So, but that's what they done anyway. So, and now, and the next thing I mean is that George Anthony's deposition was made public. And boy, I tell you what, I thought Misty Crosland had a lot of inconsistencies in her stories. I think George Anthony may have come around and gave her some crash course lessons or something on how to lie or how to confuse people in their stories, because his deposition was sure full of them. And they, like, first of all, with the gas can, he gave all kinds of different stories on the gas can with the duct tape on it. I mean, one minute he said he didn't do it, one minute he said he did, next minute he said he don't know if he did. He said he cut the grass before the August 1st. He said he bought two cans after he tells him that Casey had returned the two that she had taken. And, I mean, it's just full of inconsistencies. The whole thing that he said was full of it. I mean, it's just, and then after, they ask him, well, how could the tape have gotten there then? And he tells them, it's a mystery to him. He has no idea. So then they ask him about this concrete slab that was poured in his backyard. And I remember when it first came up, I questioned that concrete slab. And I still to this day don't understand why they didn't pull it up. But he, at first he said that it was in June, the beginning of June, when he poured it. Then he changed the story and said that he poured it sometime in July. Then he claims, well, he doesn't remember when exactly it happened at all. And that's it. So, I mean, I just don't understand how, if you, somebody has to, I mean, he has to know something. These answers was changed too often.
Oh, I thought it was all splendid stuff. And I'm sure some of our listeners and maybe some of our panel caught that amazing. I think an amazing is a good word to describe it. The show last night put out by 48 hours. it was the original Anthony Love Fest. Did you catch that one, Denny?
No, I didn't, but I can't help but ask this question if I could. I have to think if I were sitting in that jail month after month and my defense team had credible evidence, positive proof that I was innocent, I would expect to be back on the street shortly. I would
exactly.
not expect them to hold the damn evidence till February.
Well,
and apparently they weren't going to release it then except the judge is ordering it be released.
Right.
So I'd be very disappointed in my defense team if I were her.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious that nobody would want to sit in jail if they have obvious evidence that clearly would prove your innocence. But his excuse is Casey wants her day in court. So what's she going to do, sit 2 years in jail just because she wants her day in court? That doesn't make any sense.
I know one feller that'd like to have his evidence brought forward and his bond. I ain't sitting in jail, but hell, sitting on bond's bad enough.
That's what I mean. I mean, it just doesn't make a bit of sense.
Bring it,
if they've got any kind of evidence at all, why would she sit there in jail? I mean, that clearly states. And there's certain questions when they ask him last night, he wouldn't answer. I forgot the one specific one that I was thinking about, that he just says, I can't answer that, or something like that. He said no. And you could see it was obvious. I'd like to, never mind.
Denny, see if you agree with me. The only thing that really bugs me in this case is I'm a taxpayer here in Florida, and so is TJ, and this trial is going to go on, and I believe that it's going to be interrupted, and she's going to get a new trial for the simple reason. I mean, I've got folks right now investigating just where is Baez's secretary, number one. Number two, what did those two prison guards or jail guards see that was touchy-feely unbecoming? Just what's going on there? I know if I'd be sleeping with if I was sleeping with my defense attorney and that was to somehow go against me and I was convicted, I'd say he was blinded by the light.
One of the things that is brought up against this show is the fact that we never have any new news. Now, if you do read the description of what we are, it is a review of the past 7 days. However, today I think we do have some brand new news. Cobra just mentioned it. Would you like to elaborate on Mr. Baez's secretary?
Not too awful much. I will tell you this much. You know, we've been kind of blogging out there a little bit, not really blogging, mainly on your site, just asking a few things, that we are assembling a team, and our team is a very, very serious team, and one of those team members' assignment is to find her, locate her, and ask a whole bunch of questions of her. And we're doing that to a couple of other employees that have fallen by the wayside. They didn't make the grade. They were either cut or fired, and some of them may be investigators, you know, different folks. And those folks have a whole new idea. And we're finding out that there never was a confidentiality agreement for anybody. So you would be only surprised, Simon, in the weeks coming, what really pops off.
We'll be waiting for that.
I got to share with Denny first, because I think Denny's really a serious crime writer, and we're just kind of like, you know, like you say, a little panelist just clicking along there, reviewing what the news was, and every once in a while we make some. And but I think Denny ought to really expand into that field.
The ex-secretary isn't an ex-mobster as well, is she?
Well, the stuff that we're doing is mobster-ish. I mean, we're going straight after every disgruntled person that worked with them, and then we have to find out evidence backing up those remarks. And once we do that, if we can get behind it fast enough, we're going to save the taxpayers of Florida a shit potload of money. And anytime you got, like, fellers jumping up and wanting to talk to the judge like this Maluso, he's a civil lawyer from California. He was so far amateur, it wasn't even funny. I mean, me, I say something to the judge, and, you know, like, Your Honor, don't you think they ought to file a motion or something? Something going on? And he was nice enough to say, hey, talk to your attorney. I am. But this guy jumped up and said, hey, we got some evidence. By God, while she was in jail, this body was peppered with and moved over here. Well, they're going to hold his ass in contempt come February 1, and Kathy Belich out of Orlando is probably going to get exclusive on that.
Good reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way she approached it.
I think this was off camera, but Kathy Belich apparently asked Jose Baez, is there going to be a bombshell on February 1st? And his reply was, there will be something. There will definitely be something.
We didn't want the word bombshell to be used too much. I didn't want www.com to get mad at us and stuff. We'll leave the bombshells to somebody else. We're going to send rockets to the moon is what we're going to do.
Okay. Well, let's move on here. Let's move on to Haley Cummings. TJ, do you want to give us the thumbnail sketch of the low spots of the week?
Yes, first of all, Misty and Ron's divorce became final. I do believe it was Thursday. And not too much there. They didn't have a whole lot to split up. Very amicable and pretty much, yeah, get your name back. That's about it. And she's going by Misty Croslin. Speaking of Croslin, Lisa Croslin was extradited from Tennessee to Florida. She spent a couple of nights at the Putnam County Jail, and she has since been released on, she made bond. I don't know who made the bond payment. I still don't have any idea on that. But that's pretty much where we are. More of a circus atmosphere than actually finding Haley. I believe one of the quotes from Ronald, if I'm paraphrasing here, was, okay, I divorced her, now go find my kid. And that was not meant for humor, but I know why you're laughing, Cobra. I really do. You know, what has been preventing this young man from going out and you know, maybe appearing like he was searching a little harder? I don't know the man's heart. I can't account for his actions 24/7. But doesn't this free him up to help aid in the search? And maybe it's law enforcement that asks that the parents don't go out there and get into the fray of things. I'm not certain how that works. I've heard that go both ways, depending on your law enforcement agency. But I know my heart, I know my soul. I wouldn't stop until the child was found. I believe Mr. Mark Class was the same way, and I believe that John Walsh was the same way.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
So.
Okay. Actually, there were a number of other side
shows. Refresh my memory.
okay. Let's run through them. We have Donna Brock and Tim Miller.
Oh, yeah, last week bleeding into this week, yes. Yes,
yeah.
Donna Brock, the assistant with Tim Miller and Texas Equisearch. She was the woman who was Misty's friend, and I find it difficult that Misty didn't know that. But evidently, you know, it was hard for her to take when she found out. And Tim's explanation of that, he's doing things a little differently than maybe the average person would do in order to try to find a missing child by putting out a lot of money and befriending the person who's at the center of the controversy, the last person to see the child alive. But there have been folks very critical, Mark Class being one of them, and then other folks saying, well, you know, what's been attempted so far hasn't been working, so why not have something else go in this direction? Other things that have happened, too, is that Ronald's lawyer, Mr. Jerry Shoemaker, has come forward saying that he, too, would like to have maybe a private investigator provide additional eyes into the investigation of this missing child. And in order to pay for that, he is suggesting that perhaps a nonprofit organization be set up in this case in order to pay for the private investigator. And that rose a few eyebrows, I noticed.
I rolled my eyes when I heard
DJ.
That. I'm
Hello?
Sorry, Cobra, hit us again with that one.
I'll say this, it's nothing news-breaking. That's just someone trying to reinvent the wheel again. I remember some private investigator trying to get all the answers, and Ron wasn't willing at that time, and this guy was working for free, and they were thinking about setting up some kind of profit organization. Or is this old news, or is this something they just coming up with, TJ?
Well, Bill, the thing was they didn't approach you, and they rebuffed you when you asked for them to do the recreation of the night the child went missing. So, yeah, I mean, we're all familiar with that. This is something of a reinvention of the wheel, I guess. But I don't recall Ron trying to hire you. I know that you were working pro bono and working for free. And I do remember quite vividly the conversation we had on the radio about how that proposition was almost ready to fly until the wheels fell off over a glass of iced tea at Meemaw's. Is that correct? Is that the one we're thinking about?
Yeah, that's the one we're thinking about. I bring all that up to say this. When you had the whole crew of people there willing, trying to find out what happened to Haley, and you do the simplest thing, go through the crime scene, you know, just trying to get some of these facts to paper, and then all of a sudden you're rebuffed and things are changed, and I'm hearing the same stories now that we experienced firsthand then, and people are saying, you think that's true? You think this is true? I said, shit, it's the same damn thing. It's just 9 months or 8 months late, that's all.
Isn't it like, and it appears to me, too, that if you take a look at the all that you had on paper, the first 10 days or maybe the first 15 days of the investigation, and you bring it up to now, you know what has taken place in from those first 15 days to now? And, Bill, I know that you're going to agree with me. A frickin' circus.
It's been one, and it's staying one, and this new – the only thing I can think a new investigator could bring to this case is a possibility of a sighting down in the Philippines or a possibility of a sighting over in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, I think that's the one they all like to go to, and you know the other investigator that I'm thinking of. So that's all they need to do is to really screw the case up and, you know, send them off in a wild goose chase. They're not trying – in my opinion, they're not trying to find out. They're trying to find out. What do we do now? That's all. Because they had every available source. If not me, they had other people there.
Oh, certainly, yeah. You had the screaming eagles, you know, the 101st there at your disposal. And look what happened. And I agree with you there. Another thing that has come to light, and I think, Cobra, you get the same kind of emails that I get, is that the psychics are back.
Yeah.
And
full force.
Full force. And, you know, God bless these folks because they want to help. They really do. Their heart's in the right place. They're very sincere people.
Well, here's the thing. You know, this was probably saved for a little bit later in the show.
Sure, go ahead.
But the thing of it is, it's important now to say this. They're quick to point fingers. Everyone that's blogging sideways and you got, you know, I guess there's fan clubs. You got one.
There are fan clubs, Bill. They are fan clubs.
And hate clubs. They all out there. Clubs. That's why I told you when I first met you, I said, man, you got to be careful. There's all kinds of clubs. And I told you a few of those clubs on tape. But these are the rest of those clubs that exist out there.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is if they stop and wait a minute and hold up, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at TJ. And don't be mad at Simon. And for God's sake, don't get mad at Art at www.art.com. Because if it hadn't been for me bringing Art, they wouldn't have nothing to bitch about. There would be nothing to bitch about. Had I not showed up with Art Harris, there would be no news. I believe it would be a cold case. And I believe that Nancy Grace and Jane Velez Mitchell and everybody else is trying to push it a little harder now. That's what I'll give them the fairest measure I can, push it a little bit. They wouldn't have any belly aching room had some of us not paved that way. And that's what's most important here. Don't get mad at me and TJ and, you know, Kim. And you know, I'm responsible for bringing those two into the mix. But the thing is.
Not TJ. TJ lives here.
TJ, you were trying to get what you could get. And it wasn't until we set it on fire and all the snakes ran out with the rabbits and everything else. We said,
That's true. I mean,
everybody's mad at me and you and Simon, or, you know, there's a hate group out there. They don't like you and anything you're wrong.
I don't care.
Let me tell you what.
You damn old to care.
Pay your dues, and you can bitch and bellyache right along, and we'll give you some credit for it.
Are you talking about folks actually putting boots on the ground and doing some searching?
You know, 5 days, not 5 months. Don't get it twisted. If you're there 5 days, don't say you've been there for months. You've been there what you've been there for, and tell what you've seen, and be done with it. There ain't no point in trying to push it out there any harder. It's already a damn circus.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We do need to take some calls. I have someone on the line from either they're coming in by Skype or they have a blocked phone ID. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Oh, hi. It's Skype, and my name is Linda. Is that a call for me?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. My question is, I've been reading many comparisons to other cases. There's Mark Kloss actually mentioned them, Danielle Van Damme, Polly Kloss, where people didn't do forced entry to get into the home and actually take the child.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Jessica Lunsford was another one.
That was.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, I hear you.
What happened?
I'm trying to figure out. What happened?
Okay. It looks like we have a minor glitch with Blog Talk Radio. Here's TJ back on the line. We lost our Skype caller. Let's take another caller. We have a caller coming in from the 817 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, this is Lily.
Hi.
/ Hart.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Okay, question for you. Do you guys know what is going on with Chad Elliott?
The fellow who's now in the Putnam County Jail on drug charges or paraphernalia charges?
Right.
I don't know, and I've been trying to put a lot of things together on that, and I do believe probably more on our panel knows about this than I do at this point.
Well, here's what happened. There was a drug raid, for lack of words, of knowing what called it, at Chad's house. And
Turn your radios down, folks. You're going to get her feedback.
Yeah. Give me a reverb, man. I thought you just said that. But anyway, they went out to Chad Elliott's house there, and they arrested, by my count, 10 folks.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood came out in such glee. They were lined along the fences, hurraying the Putnam County Sheriff boys on. And, you know, they had their own cheering squad. So apparently there's been a lot of activity going on out there that the neighborhood knows about, and they're quite happy with the removal. Now, some of them folks, I believe Chad be one, is still in lockdown, and folks that know him, he needs help for his – he's got a bag hooked to him to juice him up, you know, keep him juiced up because he got a logging truck ran over him or something or another. Something smashed him, and he's been in a lot of pain and stuff. So he's now he's addicted to the stuff, and they're trying to get him some help. That's word from the family members. Rest of them, you know, pretty much, it was just a lot of paraphernalia stuff going on, little bonds, and they got out. But they were all questioned. Every single one of them was given their rights read and asked, what about Haley? Every single one of them. And that's on word up, and it didn't come from the police.
No, it didn't. I have a quick question for you, Bill, because I've been a bit out of the loop here for the last couple of days. I did see this come across, and I was trying to put two and two together, and I was hoping to goodness that I did not get six, because sometimes I do get our dirty half dozen mixed up with reality.
Two times two is four, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, gotcha. You and I went through these the other day, too. but the thing is this the Chad or the alleged Chad that was mentioned in the Nene letter that had that name in what was supposed to be, quote, an alleged sworn affidavit by Joe Pytko?
That's the same fella. It's the same place where White Boy Greg hung out. Same place where we
that's
were able to.
That's what I was hoping.
It's all the same party pad.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, same.
All right.
Okay. In August, there was pictures taken of a couple of Ron's vehicles parked in the carport at the Rita Lane address. Does Teresa still live there, or was she, the night that Haley went missing, was she in Fruitland Park, or does she still live on Rita Lane?
Well, here's the thing, caller. I think this goes back to some early bloggers that were saying that Fruitland, and they had it mixed with someplace else that was over.
Yeah, there's a Fruitland and there's a Fruitland Park. There's a one that's right there in the Lake and Marion County area, which is not very far away from Wallaka Satsuma area in Putnam County. In fact, they kind of butt right up in there in the corner.
Maximum,
yeah.
on the one. That's where we believe she was there, not 60, 80 miles away. Huh?
Which would be
Cobra,
late, yeah.
Cobra, can you please speak up a little bit?
Yes, I will. They keep saying that the Fruitlands, and they got them confused. One's about 80 miles away, and one's only 15 miles away. It's our understanding that she was less than 15 miles away.
That's true, because the one is up by Lake City, which is in Columbia County, which is north of where I am in Gainesville, and the other one is right there in the Marion Lake County area, which is right there in the southeast corner of Putnam County. Right there, close proximity.
I believe that's not true either. I think
or southwest. I'm sorry, southwest. Southwest,
yeah.
More by Wallaka than it is at too much.
Wallaka is the next little place you run into.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I got my directions all screwed up today.
All right,
I'm out in the Gulf, boys. Sorry about that.
Okay,
only 10-15 miles, brother.
TJ.
Yes.
Do you know if Haley's pictures were sold to Nancy Grace?
Sold to Nancy Grace? That I don't believe so. I know that Teresa Neves put watermarks on her pictures because she believes that many of her pictures were stolen and then resold to other people to put up on their websites. That's a conversation that Ms. Neves had with me, but that's just her word. But that's one reason why you see Teresa Neves or Neves written on the pictures on Nancy Grace is that they're called a watermark because she allegedly had some either a photo disc or strips that were actually stolen from her home.
Okay,
I think it's fair to say, and you know, if someone can prove me wrong, you can do so. But Nancy Grace does not pay for interviews. photographs or anything like that.
Well, certain occasions. Some of us don't take money, that's for sure.
We heard, here's the only thing we heard, here's a rumor, and I mean, we never investigated it, but it was told by many, when Crump went on Nancy Grace, he wanted to be paid, and they would not pay him. They do not pay you, but
no,
they will licensure your photographs, and i.e., we heard, that he collected $20,000 for a picture of a rattlesnake, and I said, "Oh shit!"
That I don't know about it, but I heard the same thing. But I will tell you that you know, this cat's never taken a dime from headline news.
Do you? I know
no.
you didn't.
No.
There's unscrupulous folks out there, and there's folks out there trying to do what the right thing is.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I think we have our Skype caller.
That Skyper.
It's Linda, and I was calling. Mark Glass had mentioned on Nancy Grace that there are many similar cases where a child was taken mere feet away from their guardian during the night without forced entry.
Right,
and I'm wondering if there's, like, have you ever considered that it's possible that this happened to Misty?
Until this investigation takes a new turn, we're respecting law enforcement right now. And law enforcement has maintained since the beginning of time that this was no stranger abduction.
Right,
period.
And I know that in some of the ones that Mark Klass had mentioned, they weren't either. In fact, one of them was a neighbor. And so I'm just wondering, I do agree that until the investigation is over, no one knows. But I'm just wondering if you've ever given the benefit that it actually could have happened, because LE is saying that the reason that they are still going to Misty and what happened that evening is because there wasn't forced entry.
Yes.
And we
yes.
don't know if there were prints or DNA, touch DNA, on the cinder block.
That's not true. The reason that, you know, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Klaus. He's lost a child. And anybody that's lost a child, Timmy Miller's lost a child, any of those men, they're entitled to, you know, whatever it is that they want to say. And the only thing I'm going to say to correct it is this. The police believe that it was no stranger abduction.
Right.
And until they can ascertain just what is Misty trying to tell us in all these riddles that change up, or this is not right, or this is over here. And once they can determine that, they can't go looking for no stranger.
Right. Well, Jessica Lunsford wasn't a stranger, and neither was Van Damme. They were not strangers.
They didn't have a mama sitting back, or a girlfriend sitting back, or a
they had a grandmother sleeping 10 feet away.
But here's the thing. When they were interviewed by law enforcement, here's the differences. When they were interviewed by law enforcement, they told a concise story, and it pointed to a stranger abduction. They didn't.
Well, so did J.C.'s stepfather. He told and accounted.
But Misty did not, and that's what the problem is.
But she did. L.E. has said that her story is consistent, but what they're saying is they're hoping that there's more details.
They're not saying her story has changed. They're going to try to make you say you didn't. See, that doesn't make any sense.
But I'm just wondering if you've considered that it could be possible that Misty has told the truth, like Brenda Van Damme and like Jessica Lunsford's grandmother.
Jessica's grandmother got scored, and so did her grandfather. I remember that.
Yes,
they were prime suspects 1 and 2.
Yes, and if they had not found that man, that registered sex offender, right outside that door, they would never, ever have let those grandparents go. And I'm just wondering if there's ever a moment in your day where you consider that it may be true that what Misty has said is actually all she knows.
No, I got a lot. I've got 3 or 4 reasons to doubt a lot of what she said. We were searching under the beds. You can't search under a bed if the bed is on the floor and there are
no
bed
frames.
No,
but there was another bedroom. There was another bedroom with a full setup bed.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I've said, and I'm waiting for.
No, but I'm wondering about that because there's a lot of discrepancy about the bed, and there was a second bedroom that had a bed that was actually for Haley. That was a normal single bed on a stand.
They can change it any which way they want. My personal opinion is that
is this TJ?
No, you're talking to Bill.
Okay, because TJ, I'm wondering your take on that. Like, I'm wondering if you've considered that there was a second bedroom that had a bed set up, which is the bed I believe Misty is referring to.
They were all in the same room, and we were there with the neighbor.
No, I understand they were all in the same room, but I'm saying that when Misty said she ran around the house and looked under the bed, mm-hmm. people are saying, oh, well, the beds were on the floor, but they're not taking into consideration that there was a second bedroom with a full single bed set up.
I didn't
that's
see that
the bed
set
she's
up.
Referring to.
That's not the one that we were led to believe, and believe me, I did
well,
not see
that's
that.
What I'm
ma'am,
saying,
ma'am, do you want me to answer the question?
Sorry,
you just
go
want
ahead.
To interrupt until
no.
I
go
agree
ahead.
With you.
Go
from now on, we have to ask, are you supporting Misty, or are you supporting Ronald?
No, here's the deal. There are so many inconsistencies that have been pointed out by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That single bed that you're referring to, I didn't see that one. I did not see a bed set up. All beds I saw were on the floor. Now, mind you that they had to go through that house and get it straightened up in a hell of a hurry before the TV cameras got in because law enforcement left it pretty much upside down. They really did. That's how far and how hard they went through there. You have the inconsistencies when it comes to the wash, the laundry, the bedding. What did the kid wear? Well, she was wearing a pink top. The hell she wasn't. She couldn't remember what the kid was wearing that night. So many inconsistencies that have taken place in here, and I know what you're getting at. The Lunsford family was you know, God, they were hung out to dry without a trial, much like you're inferring that Misty might be here in this case, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Also, the Smarts, they're looking at the dead. The Ramseys, when the JonBenet, dear God in heaven, JonBenet's mother went to her grave, everybody thinking that she had something to do to cover for her husband killing her own daughter. I do understand what you're coming from, but having been here, seen that, and talked to everybody, and then talked to law enforcement too, they don't believe anything that comes out of her mouth.
Right.
They really don't.
Inconsistencies in these other cases. That's the point I was trying to tell the lady. You got a woman sitting there that went to bed with her, put her to bed, don't know what the hell she's wearing, don't know if she's washing the clothes, don't know if she was home, don't know if her brother was banging on the door. All this stupid shit going
on. And couldn't remember if the child was in the same bed or on the pallet.
Right.
And you have to rethink that, you know, two or three times. I do know what you're trying to say here. And I appreciate the question because it was a good question, but there have been just so many inconsistencies. Why does law enforcement still agree with virtually everyone else who's ever spoken with her that
right.
the same story does not come out twice, and
yeah,
the timeline and the evidence involved with her timeline contradict
right.
each other?
Now
okay,
y'all,
okay,
personally...
we need to take a. Some more calls. We've got a very busy switchboard. But before I hit the switchboard again, there's a couple of questions coming in from the chat room. One is, where is Misty living now?
Good question. That's a very good question because she's been out and about, but I've not seen.
She's been living in hell, brother, in hell.
No, I can't answer that one with any kind of authority, because although she's been out and about, I haven't seen a change of address.
She's been living in hell, brother.
Yeah, so I won't be able to answer that question with any kind of. Any kind of truth here.
So that's
okay.
The last caller. My opinion is that Misty's a fall girl in this shit. She's just a fall girl. She can't remember shit because she's so damn doped up. And if you ask her today about something that's simple, she's going to tell you the same shit. And the dope will do that to your mind.
And enough of that question. Let's
yeah,
move on
please.
To this one that I know we'll probably get a pregnant pause. Rumors are that the cops are looking for Jeremiah Reagan to question him.
They're looking to question him.
I say that they're following up on some stuff that was sent to them by some crayon person.
And they're just trying to get it taken care of.
A particular time frame and question a certain time as to where was he. So that they can just go ahead. I mean, they're running down every single lead, including, as they said early on the show, that all the fortune tellers have come back into the damn thing. Well,
certainly.
That brought back a whole bunch of shit they need to check out now because they got new theories and new things going on from some lucid dream or something else. So they're trying to show that they're doing their job, and they have a time frame that they want to account for. I believe that it's a nothing, but they have to follow it and
You're absolutely right, and that's what they want to find him for, is to get these questions answered, get that off the table, and put that on the dry erase board, just stroke it down.
Well,
if you start eliminating things, you got more to work with on things that you have to work with.
Well, my notes have been challenged to find out exactly where he was at certain given times, and if he was with me, he wasn't stealing no child or hiding nothing or doing nothing, and if he was with other people that can testify where he was, and that's how I know for a fact, that's all it is. To shut down a damn blogger or whatever, crayon.
Yeah, you're right, it is.
Yeah, but they haven't found him yet, right?
They ain't looking for him. The thing of it is...
They just want to look to question him. They're not looking for him like he's a suspect.
No,
yeah.
Wrong again. Just want to know by the folks that he was with during a certain period time frame, was he with you or was he not? Now, TJ, if they call me and ask me if you was with me on a certain day, and I say yes, and here's how I can prove that, they don't need to come back and ask you no stupid-ass question. I already showed them the proof he was with me.
Yeah. Yeah. He showed them my bar tab.
They want to know also, why was Jeremiah down there on the first day?
First day of what? Hunting season?
They just said day one.
Yeah, nobody has put in there about day one. I mean, there's a child comes up missing day one.
Mm-hmm.
The whole press starts talking about
right.
it. If you lived within 10 miles of that place and you were of a concerned nature, you may want to try to reach out and help someone if that had been what you had done in times past. And to think anything else of it, I think, is ludicrous.
I do know that I met... Mr. Reagan, shortly after the Healy Bug Center was about to open, that's when I first met him face-to-face. I talked to him on the telephone a time or two, I guess it was. And he's a young fella from the New York area, and he came down to stay with his folks. I believe his father's a pastor. And he got that little purple building up and running. Took a lot of spit and baling wire to get it together, but he was able to do it. And then, I think I ran into him one other time. I think it was on a thing you and I were involved with. And he's there. He mentioned that he wanted to do everything he could to help out Crystal and her family in this effort with the Healy Bug Center. And he was doing a lot of talking, and I really wasn't doing a whole lot of listening, and I was trying to navigate the hood of Palatka, I think, at that time, so I really couldn't tell you much about that conversation.
Navigate the hood of Palatka.
Basically, I was following Cobra in his black van.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Not running, because he's going to get me killed over in that hood, man. He looks too, never mind.
Indiana extra farmer.
Let's go back to the phones. We have a caller from the 417 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, Simon. My name's Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
And hi, everybody. I agree when the police said it is no stranger abduction. And I have a question asked too, because if it was a stranger abduction, nobody in the family or no friends, if they had to come in and get Haley, wouldn't there be at least a couple of hairs or a footprint or a shoe print, that they could take that excluded, everybody in the family or Ron and Misty? I mean, surely they've done that. What has the FBI done to find that kind of stuff?
We don't privy on that, ma'am.
Yeah, no. All I know is that FDLE took the door off.
Oh, God, not the door again. Go hit it, Simon.
No. Actually, FDLE went through the house, and I do believe the FBI and the local investigators were, assisting in that endeavor. They were up to the point where they had, at the 5 or 6 month mark, not everything processed. Through forensically, and there was a lot of impetus to get that done over the summer, and I believe they have at this point. And they're just not speaking on what they have found as far as forensic evidence as it relates to DNA or hair samples or skin samples or things like
Even like a shoe print or something.
they haven't said anything. They're not releasing that at this point. Many times they will release information when they believe that when the public gets it, they can help them. But they've been very stingy in this in their case management, stingy to the point where it gets a little frustrating, especially for folks who, you know, just really are pulling their hair out, you know, every night saying prayers and getting by, you know, just want this little girl returned. And this isn't to cheer or to jeer when it comes to the law enforcement folks, but they can't tell everything they got because there's one, a missing girl who's, for all they know, alive, and her life could be in jeopardy. And two, several crimes, and I mean several, that need to be prosecuted. And their favorite line, and Johnny Greenwood, God bless him, he's a heck of a guy. I don't know if any of you saw him on the videotape over the Internet. He is the wall, and he will tell you, we will not divulge anything that will compromise this investigation. And when he says that, he absolutely means it. There's no guessing.
And so, but do you think that's why they said this was no stranger abduction, because they do have that back?
Well, they've also said that because of the door, there's no, you know, what appears to be a forced entry. Also, if it would have been a stranger, they believe that the young girl would have been screaming and yelling and kicking and woken somebody up. And if it's someone that the child knew and trusted, chances are it'd be like, okay, you know, you can pick me up, you can take me wherever you're going, you know, and go back right back to sleep.
Right.
Those are the two things that come to mind when that is being spoken. And Bill, if I'm out of line here, you've been on a hell of a lot more of these than I have been.
I'm just going to leave it lay at that. I mean, law enforcement has maintained from the beginning this is no stranger abduction, and I'm nobody to change that, and nor is CJ or anybody else that, you know, is trying to find out and help and solve.
Well, I believe it. It's somebody that they know or one of them. I mean, I'm not going to say a name, but she slides so much and drug. I mean, I don't care how many drugs she was doing. You can remember a little bit of that.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your question, and that was a very good one to see what they're trying to rule out.
Yeah. Let's bring Denny Griffin in. Denny, you're always so quiet. You sit there and listen. I'd like to get your thoughts on what's going on.
A couple of things. If I can go back to the Stripes caller from a few minutes ago.
Sure.
My general experience has been, in things I've been involved with and also watching other cases, other investigations, that I understand where the caller was coming from, as TJ said. But I think you have to evaluate the person, be it the Lunsford grandparents or whoever it is, the Smart family. Whoever it is, you got to evaluate the person's overall character, their overall statements and the inconsistencies. If you have someone that's very credible otherwise, then maybe you think initially, oh, they were in a position to be, they were in the area at the time, or that, you know, that type of thing. But unless there's some other reason to doubt their credibility, I think they get the benefit of the doubt. But I think it was TJ that said there have been so many inconsistent statements with Misty and her overall history and so forth. Yes, I guess anything is possible, and I'd have to say there's probably some possibility that she's telling the truth. But boy, I wouldn't, if I was law enforcement, I wouldn't put too much stock in her statements and go solely on the fact that she's telling the truth. I think it's a stretch, a real stretch to... you know, and anybody can give her the benefit of the doubt. That's personal opinion. But my opinion is there's too much against Misty here to make her a credible witness.
But I do, once again, understand where the Skype caller was coming from. I mean, come on. During the JonBenet Ramsey investigation that took a lifetime, how many times have we heard people say, throw the parents in jail, throw away the key, you know, and then it turns out they had absolutely nothing to do with it. the smarts, you know, oh, you know it was the father, you know it was the father, one of those man things, you know. Those men are all evil, and out come the old broads with their purses swinging from high heaven, you know. And then you find out that it was some landscaper and his creep-ass wife that did it, you know. So, you know, you have to be careful here. You have to be careful. Is there wiggle room for Misty? Yeah, some. But I tell you what, the overall character of this person, the only thing that has been consistent is the inconsistencies.
Uh-huh. That was TJ talking, folks. He was the one.
I don't care. I'm out here in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. I'm freezing, and I don't care.
Nice and chilly over there, buddy.
Yes, it is. You know, Floridians freeze to death in 68-degree weather.
Yeah.
Jen, you were saying that you had another question.
Yeah, I do have another question from the chat room. I hate to bring them back up again, but it's about Jeremiah. That what they were asking about the day one, they were wanting to know about why was he at the first vigil.
A lot of people were.
I say it again, I wasn't there during that time. I didn't show up till March 11th. But I would just say, in knowing the feller and hanging out with him and stuff, he met the family, and he tried to do everything in his power to ease their comfort, and he didn't choose any sides. He just was trying to be wherever he wanted to attend the vigils and show compassion for the family, and started up the Haley Bug Center and went on with the program. And I think that his efforts were good.
His intentions were good, yes.
Yeah, admirable.
Okay, we do have some open phone lines, and our contact number is 646-378-1120. I want to talk about Ron and the gun. TJ, what do you make of it?
Please repeat the question, sir.
Ron and the gun, the loaded gun.
Oh, the loaded, oh, the one that, yeah, there was the report that, you know, Ron was talking about being very angry at Misty if she had anything to do with it. You know, he was going to blow her teeth out the back of her head, and then he got into position, I guess, of sticking the gun in his mouth, and then had allegedly said, I'll take out others with me. And this was allegedly, again, in the presence of his young child, Junior. And then what took place was a lot of people, of course, saw that in its various forms along the Internet, and tons of calls were going into DCF, and DCF was called out to at least, you know, make an initial contact and initial claim, and they were escorted out there by Putnam County Sheriff's Office, you know, and Putnam County Sheriff's Office didn't even have a report on it, basically just assist another agency, and they were checking through, asking a few questions, and of course, you know, nothing much really came of it, but once an on that issue.
How come, TJ, when you talk, the damn phone lines go dead?
Because I'm boring them to death, probably.
I know. We just lost your signal, a whole damn signal, and you were still rapping on when you came back on.
I have no idea what was going on there. I could hear.
Oh, I think it's Blog Talk Radio playing games
with
us.
I've been looking at the blog, Simon and TJ. And,
yes, sir.
Some people said that Tim Miller, you know, he drinks way too damn much, and he probably made all this up. I'm going to let you know this. Art Harris and myself, the very night that we were going to do this reenactment at the crime scene, the last thing that Ronald told me, he was going to go home and stick that pistol in the back of his girl's throat and blow the back of her damn neck out, is he's going to get some straight answers. He'd be calling me tomorrow after he talked to John Merchant and told him everything, and I says, don't be going around playing no gun stuff. So it ended up with midnight. He was supposed to call me back, and he didn't. So then I contacted law enforcement. We went to Willaca. Art Harris was there. Harris was a witness. Harris.com. He was a witness to the whole thing, and we called out law enforcement, and we were on site probably an hour and a half. Ronald comes out and denies any of this business of them fighting or having a gun or any of this kind of shit. And then when I heard Timmy say it and everybody doubted Timmy, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to tell you what. I believe Timmy for the simple reason he did the same damn thing, and law enforcement did the same thing. They did not file any kind of reports. We were out there at 1:30, probably on about the 2 o'clock in the morning from that 12 o'clock callback time that he didn't. And the last thing he said was he's going to blow her fucking neck out. So, you know, so do I believe Mr. Miller? Yes, I do.
But did he say it in front of Junior?
Well, here's the thing. Junior wasn't at the Junior wasn't there with me, but I can only imagine what happened when he got back to the house if this was all a fake, which he told law enforcement. Nothing was going on. He never said nothing like that. They were in bed asleep, for God's sake. What the hell? Who's calling the cops on us? You know, pretending to be innocent in the thing. And Art Harris was with me and rode with me at that time. We were going to go the other way. If he'd called and said everything's all right, we would cash it in. But we ended up going, getting law enforcement and going there because we felt that maybe he will go over and shoot herself. And he said it a bunch of times, but he said it to me, and he said it in the presence of grown-ups, so there wasn't nobody there. But how did he act when he got home is anybody's guess. But he denied it to law enforcement.
There's a question coming in from the chat room, and I think it's going to get a pregnant pause. They want TJ's opinion specifically about whether Tim Miller is a fraud.
I don't think Tim's a fraud. I think Tim is using some rather unusual tactics at this point, and I think he's stepped on a few people's toes. And I think some of these unusual tactics have got people scratching their heads and wondering a great deal about things and about his own protocols. I do know that a lot of people are asking a lot of questions about his methodology. But as far as a fraud, well, take a look at his track record. Is it successful? Do people still go to him? Has he proven himself otherwise? He still proves that he gets the job done at this point. There's nothing at this point that suggests otherwise. But I will say that a lot of people question his methodology and how he's going about this, especially in this case with Misty over the past several months.
She, first of all, she asked for it. Second of all, his methodology, anybody's, you know what? He ain't nothing else worked. May as well try. I just love what he said, though. He said, you know, I just don't understand it. I've been here with a bunch of damn hillbillies trying to figure this out.
Well, you know, it's nothing new. I mean, you're either talking to a rock or you're talking to jiggling jello, as a friend of mine once said in this case. Damn few and far between are you talking to a normal human being. I mean, the cast of characters are just very bizarre.
I don't think there's anything strange about his investigation at all. He's chumming it up. They're good old boys, and something might come out, and everybody get drunk and spill their guts. Hell, you know, short of giving a waterboard treatment to everybody, I mean, that's the most legal thing that you could do. I checked the book, and it's fair play.
I think that the road rage incident was just crazy.
Incident, I'm a reserve on that one because I don't believe the economics of it. I believe I'd stand a better chance of winning the damn lottery than that shit happening if I was the investigator on a case and that happened. So that one I'm going to leave out. But as far as the gun story and some of these other methodologies, I checked it in the book, and by God, there's pictures right there and shows you how to do this shit. And he's doing
okay. Let's scoot to another caller. We have someone coming in from the 214 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Shelley. How's everyone today?
Good.
Fine, thank you.
Good. I have some questions for Cobra.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Okay.
Okay,
why
good.
Not?
Well, sure, why not? Cobra, you came out.
Take it easy.
We love TJ to death.
Cobra.
You came out this week with a comment on BNN, actually a letter, talking about forgiving Kim Picazio and kind of maybe being best friends forever again. And some people are wondering about that. A lot of people feel that you might have been getting close to some truth, and Picasso might have had something to do with you getting run out of town, basically, because we all know this happened. We all know that you're looking at major legal fees and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just wondering about that. We understand being a big man and forgetting things like that and forgiving, mm-hmm. but we're just kind of wondering, has Kim been there all along? Has she been in the background? And what's going on with that? If you were getting close to the truth and she ran you out of town, that's not so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, none of that's true. The fact that what really happened was is I brought her to the case, and I brought her to the case for a purpose. And that purpose was there's already one child missing. We don't need another child missing, and she's the best civil lawyer that I know and a child advocate, and she's top-notch. In fact, they got her slated for judge in 2012. So she is going to be, you know, all that in a bag of chips. What happened was is I've never been diametrically opposed to her before on any case. I've done some serious cases, international cases, and we've always got the goods, and we've 100% won every case. Now, in this particular case, she is representing, which I didn't think all this shit through when I started setting it all up, she's representing Crystal. And, you know, it would be unfair to me to not look at Crystal because I'm representing Haley. So when we started doing the cross-references and stuff, we got to fighting. And rightfully so, I had to be vigorous in what I was doing. She had to be very vigorous in what she was doing. But for her getting me run out of town or anything, I've never been run out of nothing. I've chosen to take a different investigative step here and keep myself out of a Putnam County situation in case there is somebody mad at me. But early this morning, I wrote Kim and Pastor Grun and told them that today on this radio show that somebody's going to ask, what is up with Kim and Cobra? And I have a very simple response. It's our turn now. And I do want to inform them that we three so far have joined in a class action suit. Details will be coming out soon, and we're waiting for some other friends of ours to come in out of the rain and join us. We'll be addressing this suit of all concerned parties and remedies and the actions of others in our lives. The defendants will include but not be limited to a certain national publication, an investigator or two, and a host of other worms that have eaten our crops. And I ask them, if either of you desire to call in at the heat of the subject at hand, please do. If you have a sound bite, I'll use it, and I'll put them on notice, and let's see who turns, who runs, and who has the deepest pockets. I have lost most of my grain, and I intend to recover it with a bountiful crop as a bonus. And Pastor Grun responded back and said, be sure your sins will find you out, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So we so far have joined a class action suit, taking on all these folks that I mentioned, plus a whole bunch more. We're not going to, you know, we have one of the largest law firms in America that has won the largest civil action for this kind of stuff, like the bloggers and all the different hate mail that we get. And every time that they've done something slanderous and defamatory against us, whether they're attacking Kim, I'm the witness. If they're attacking me, she's the witness. If they're attacking Grun, we're both witnesses. So basically, and there's some other people that you probably be freaked out when you find that they joined this class action suit, but I did this because I brought these folks to this game, to this fight. There was nobody. We wouldn't be talking on this radio show right now. There's no Nancy Grace. There's no .com. None of that. And, you know, I stuck my neck out, and I didn't know how to do this to get the press back involved, to get legal representation into there, and to be a voice for Haley, because there was no voice on March 11th. It died out before that. So I put this whole thing into motion, figured out how would I get national media back there, since Mr. Grun couldn't do it for me. He called everybody and couldn't do it, and I couldn't do it. And then finally, I contacted Art Harris, and I was able to do it. So part of that, everybody's wanting to know, well, how'd you get Art? Well, I simply agreed to pay his expenses and bring him into the case. Now, he hadn't been on the ground for months. He was there for 5 to 7 days. I could only afford five grand or so. And the thing of it is, I brought him to give an accurate record. And plus, I know who his sister is. I know the connection to Nancy Grace and to everything else. So I knew that by bringing Art, that damn sure would bring the press back. And by bringing the best civil attorney in the world into the case, that would sure light the shit up with Nancy Grace, because them two would get along about like dynamite and matches. So then the press all got back in, and now look at us. We got hundreds and thousands of bloggers all wrapped up in it. It's back in the headlines again. Some of the stuff you're reading in the headlines ain't true. Of course, we're not on the ground there keeping the truth separate from the fly shit and pepper. But TJ's doing all he can muster to try to keep up with it. And in fact, if you take your eyes off this case for two or three days, so much shit changes and becomes the other way. So, yeah, Kim and me, we went head-to-head because I defend Haley. She defending Crystal, and that's, she has a, you know, right, a law to do that. She has to. So now that everybody's been fired or everybody's went backwards, we just say, you know what, let's just join a civil action and go against everybody that has betrayed us, that has used us, lied on us, and everything else, and take a bite out of them. And that way, hey, we'll all be, you know, ready for the next case, I guess. Too simple. But I am ultimately responsible because I'm the one that set all this shit up. You know, I brought Art Harris. And then I worked on Kim, and I told her, I said, listen, Kim, I can make you famous in one day. And it's kind of like one of them devil. I did it like that and said, I'll get you on Nancy Grace. I guarantee you that. But I need you to go represent this little kid and get him the hell out of harm's way. That was the mission. And where it went from there is anybody's guess. But it's my fault that I did it. I was asked by my pastor to do it, so I did it. You know, I did it, and I did it the best I could do it. And here we are talking about it today because of those actions. You know, there's some things I'd like to change about it, but, you know, I would have probably figured out a better playing field to get started on rather than having me and Kim adversely affect each other. You know, me doing my job, her trying to do her job, and both of us in each other's way trying to get to that. So it's just economics, and it's the truth, and it's being a big man and accepting responsibility, and along with that comes a victory. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, I do need to hit the phone lines. They're very, very busy this afternoon. So, you know, thank you, caller, for talking
thank
with us. We have someone coming in from the 828 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hey, Simon. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Diana from the mountains. I kind of have a question for Denny. And probably you too, TJ.
Okay.
We had this special came on last night in regards to Kaylee on 48 Hours. You have Diane Fanning is going to put this book out next, the 1st of November in regards to this case. How often are you guys approached by people, anyone from anywhere, that want to write a book, write a story, make a dollar, whether it's Kaylee, Haley, either or?
Go ahead, Denny. I'll let you answer that one first.
Well, it happens. I have a blog talk radio show myself, and Diane Fanning was my guest last or 2 weeks ago now. And it's not the first time we've talked about other cases. And we talked about the upcoming book in addition to a recent release she had. So I've worked as far as hosting, having Diane as a guest on my show three or four times over the last couple of years. I haven't been approached by anyone regarding either of these cases. I get approached frequently about generally former mobsters or possibly current mobsters wanting to write a book and want me to be a ghostwriter or assist them getting the book together and getting it published. But I've had no one ask me about writing a book regarding Haley or Kaylee, and the only thing I've had close to that is having Diane Fanning as a guest on my Bot Talk show.
And on this end of the equation, I think I was approached twice professionally, and there have been offers to be included on some upcoming television specials and things of that nature that would transcend CNN or headline news. But the thing is, I can't in any good conscience be a part of doing that for a profit or for anything else. One other thing that has taken place is a possible partnership. And it's something I'm fired up about once the time and the availability comes to fruition, and maybe the lawyers in all parts can agree on something, is to do something on two partnering websites when it comes to the exploitation of the missing and exploited exploited children, things that would be very much just a helpline, where you don't make a dime for it. All you do is provide a resource center where people can know the ins and outs of the basics, how to take care of your child. Not all of us are gifted with that ability to make a right decision. Some people just aren't so sure of themselves because babies do not come with booklets or instructions.
No, they-
My phone line.
I lost my two for just a moment. Are you everybody back?
Yeah, everyone's back.
Yeah. Did I bore everybody to death on that, or
yeah,
what?
You bored us. It broke
no,
the phone line.
Actually, you've intrigued me because I had a a similar offer.
Yeah, I imagine you have a couple of them. And they were both from very good quality people.
Well, I may as well tell y'all something before it gets out there. Way before Haley come up missing, I was in the movies, and we had run a bunch of stuff for Spike TV, and then the crunch hit everybody, and our fees were too high, and they passed. Well, since that has happened, now you'll see me on Discovery. We started shooting film already on Discovery. It has absolutely nothing to do with missing children. It has a lot to do with fugitives in the wind, really bad guys, and how do we track them. And plot is you know, it's more of the investigative side. So that fit real good with me for the current status I'm in, is doing the investigation. So hopefully we'll have all our episodes shot before the 14th of December, when I have to appear in the Putnam County Courthouse for a trial. And after that, I'll either be doing them from inside or doing them from outside or whatever. It's going to come down to 12 people and what they know about bail bonds. So whatever it be, at least I'm going to leave a legacy. This is what I did do. I went for the meanest and the baddest that were out there, and was very successful in getting them caught up. So I guess if anybody starts saying I was a prophet, and it won't be ain't about no little children's missing or nothing like that. It's about full-grown-ass men, what they did and took off and went to other countries and stuff. And we got one probably scheduled to go to France. But we'll see how that all schedules around the trial business, right?
I will share this with listeners. I had a really, really interesting conversation with Cobra after he'd just had a confrontation with a SWAT team. But,
I remember that. They were getting a phone call at some goddamn awful hour in the morning on that one.
Let me tell you what. Here's what happened. The other night we were out, we were filming for Discovery, and I'm an investigator, so I located the fugitive. And then I called the bounty boys, and here they come. And here come the film crew, and here come everything. And the guy was hiding out in a third-party residence. Well, finally, we gained entry to that third-party residence legally, and there he is under the bed, and got him, took him back. Now, he'd been in a high-speed chase with police and fought him, and, man, hell, there was cops would have got a hold of him. They'd have beat his ass bad. Well, the report, 911's called, because we were out there for about a half an hour trying to keep everybody calm to make sure we didn't break any laws and can't afford that shit. So, anyway, after a period of time, a 911 call goes out, and I got a glimpse of a bunch of cars are coming. They pulled about 60 cars. They pulled at least 100 officers from two different jurisdictions. They proceeded to throw us asses on the ground and couldn't figure out that I didn't have no gun. I said, I ain't got no gun. Hell, I'm on felony bond. What are you doing? What are you doing to this fella over here? And I said, I ain't had nothing to do with that fella. That fella right there was arrested by the bail bondsman. They taking him to jail. So they was kind of rough on me and a couple of the big boys. We were two blocks away by this time. And I said, I hope you ain't throwing my girl on the ground around the corner, because it's going to be hell. You get your sergeant out here. Well, they started asking questions. Now, they got the whole film crew down on the ground, everybody. And they sent a SWAT team in there, because here's where the report came in. We've got 14 people some with shotguns. They're black and they're white. They just broke in a house and they grabbed some feller and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. And y'all need to get out of here real quick. Now, we had called law enforcement, and this was not a warrant situation. We were simply going to revoke his bond, period, because he had been making threats, and we decided he's going to kill the bondsman, and I was one of the ones he wanted to kill, so I had to make sure I was there. But anyway, the report was filed, and we called the police and said, hey, we're going to be serving a bail bond warrant over here. We're going to be revoking this joker. And they said, listen, if he ain't got no warrant, we ain't getting involved. It's a civil matter. So we said, all right, then. So then we decided to go get a cold drink and wait for a little while, and we did. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, we hit his ass. And by God, now the next shift, it must have been had a shift change we didn't know about or something, because they sent a SWAT team after our ass, buddy. Damn.
What I liked about it, Cobra, is that they were looking for all these long guns, and your guys goes, those aren't long guns, those are microphone booms.
Exactly. Nobody had any shotguns, and my girlfriend didn't get thrown on the ground. She's hiding in one of the fast, go-fast Dodge Chargers with my partner's girlfriend, who is a bail bondsman as well, and they were sitting in the car talking when these fellas come down the street with guns. So they ducked because they didn't know what the hell was going on, because they weren't. You couldn't really tell they were law enforcement. You could just tell they were coming six abreast and coming straight at them. So they ducked down behind the dashboard and took all the activities in. And later on, I think they were more shook up than the ones who got thrown on the damn ground, to tell you the truth. But we all got out of there nice, and everybody apologized. I apologized to wanting to whoop one of them's ass, and they apologized to wanting to whoop my ass, and we was all good.
Okay, well, let's go back out to the phones after that interlude.
That's what happened.
Right. Okay, someone calling in from area code 386. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
My name is Debbie. I was wondering if Peggy Cohn is still on the Haley case.
Hey, Miss Hudson, you know how I am with voice pickup. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Cobra, just pissed.
Yeah, that's all right, baby. But hey, like that, I can hear your voice one time. I know exactly who the hell you are. That's what I specialize in. What is you doing up there?
Trying to find Haley.
I know you are. Are you ready for all the burning that we fixing to put on? Did you hear earlier in the show
I listen to the show every week. But what makes me mad is nobody saying nothing where Haley is.
Yeah,
that's absolutely the fact.
Yeah. They sure enough are, but I think this civil action is going to upset the damn apple cart real bad. I didn't want to have to do it, but after talking to our people, we figured the best way to do it is a civil action and just go get everybody.
Yeah.
But as far as Ms. Cohn is concerned, I understand that she's been having some medical challenges at this point in time.
Okay.
There is somebody else working that case, and
yeah,
they are hot after it, Debbie.
Yeah, they are.
I wouldn't want to mislead you and let you know nothing was happening, because plenty of shit's happening, taking consideration Chad's place out there and a couple other things that, since you're right there in town, you've heard about, but you probably didn't link them up. But they are working, and Miss Cohn is taking a little bit of leave, but she has somebody in there very well qualified.
Okay, better than her then, right?
Pardon me?
Is it better than her, so we can find out where Haley is?
I wouldn't say that better or worse. You know what? They all got a hard
qualified
to do, and they don't have no silver crystal ball to work with. And you know what? If you're willing to put on the bootstraps and go out there and try it, more power to you. So I wouldn't say that they were better or not. I just say that she had the investigation moving forward, and whoever took her place is moving it on forward. They ain't stopped.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Good answer.
Right.
Okay, and I'm just going to return to the Cobra Comedy Hour for a second.
Oh,
shit,
man.
Right. When I first heard the story, I just went, yeah, right. The very next day, one of the Discovery producers called me about a completely different subject.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And gave me all the gory details.
They were asking her, that was probably Amy, they were asking her, which one of them men's over there is your boyfriend? She goes, none of them. My husband's on the ground beside me right here. And they were looking around. There were no other women. So these cops were scratching their head going, shit, you got her on the ground. Well, get up, ma'am. So they got her up, and they were real friendly with her because I was screaming from the other block. If you thrown my girl on the ground like this, I swear to God, me and you, you better get your sergeant out here. You best get your sergeant out here right now. Because my girl wouldn't have nothing. She didn't have no damn gun, nothing. She wasn't even involved with the shit. She was just watching like the crowd would watch, you know, when they film a dog show or something. So I was pissed. And, you know, of course, we did apologize for all that and everything. All right. But, yeah, Amy was quite shaken. I think the police, I give it to them, and didn't verify who they was, you know, kind of thing. I think they said, oh, they're going to be filming? Well, let's just show them something. By God, we can put some. My God, man, it scared the living shit out of the film crew. I didn't know if they were going to stay in town or not. In fact, you and I, Simon, said, do you still have a film crew? Do you still have a deal? I said, I better have a deal because we'll just get into this damn suit we got here. We put everybody in the same suit. And the sure shit, they showed up the next day and said, what can we do to avoid that getting thrown on the ground business? I said, well, what we do is let's just start calling every law enforcement agency in the south end of the county here and making sure they know we're coming and for who, and we'll tell them when we get close who it is. Shit.
Okay, let's get back to the subject of the show. Earlier this week, Mark Klass made some fairly strong remarks on the Nancy Grace show, remarks to the effect that Tim Miller should be arrested. TJ, what do you think?
Well, that's what I was alluding to when I said that some are questioning Mr. Miller's motives. You have two guys who have two different ways of going about taking care of business and affairs. And I think that for reasons that Mr. Klass has that are truly his own, he appears to be offended to some degree with the manner in which Mr. Miller is conducting his investigation.
Well, it seems to me, you know, it's just little bits and pieces that you pick up over the months that that there really is no love lost between the pair of them.
Well, the shine is coming off, if you know what I mean. So are the gloves, apparently.
Right. The other question that I have is, I've forgotten his first name, Fields, the attorney. Is
Robert.
He in, yeah, is he in or out?
I know which day it is and when you ask him. I think he had to take care of the divorce thing. I think he was obligated to do that.
Hmm.
Simon, I bet the guy's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Damn good guy, damn good attorney, and I say, like, he's kind of like Kim Vicazio. By God, he's got a difficult attorney, a difficult client on his hands. I'll just tell you that.
Well, yeah, again, you know, one thing, Bill, when you were talking about your lawsuit and everything,
yeah,
and Simon and Jan, and you both have said this a million times, there's not been a soul who has walked into this investigation hoping to help in one way, shape, or form with their own special talents,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes with their own personal treasure. And everyone has walked out wounded, and some to the point, wounded or broke, yeah, or both, and some maybe even facing worse.
Yeah.
And this is something that is off the scale. It is something that I've never seen. I've been doing this since 1975. And Danny, you've watched how people investigate the mafia. It gets squirrely too. But is this even on par? I guess Danny, I'm asking, is if this could be like a mob investigation, is it on par in the fact of the squirreliness of it all?
I was going to say you're dealing, you know, with a lot of people. I see similarities to some of the things going on with this case and some of the stuff I know about from the organized crime investigations, the cast of characters and the personalities in some cases, and there are some similarities.
Hey, in them mobster business things, have you ever had a mobster saying, listen, go in there and get their ass and you keep all the money?
No.
No. Well,
no.
I want to tell you something.
They're benevolent to a degree.
If anybody thought this was a strange relationship that I got going on with this triadal lawsuit that's popping off. And, of course, we're only going after I'm not going to engage anybody while my criminal shit's going on. We're smarter than that. We got one of the best in the world guiding us. But Kim has already released a statement back to them that she does not want any money. She wants all the money collected from wherever the insurance companies, this companies, and this companies. It goes between me and Mr. Grun. So we're busy figuring out, set up an account for some, because I don't want the money either. All I want is what it costs me, period. That's all I want. And Grun is about the same way. So somebody, some charitable organization out there is fixing to end up with a shit potload of money, because this attorney I was telling you about, his last settlement was a little bit better than $11 million. So he know how to do this. Yeah, we coming. We come in, and I got two pissed off attorneys working for free. They don't want a dime. They just want to see justice, period.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's why I said, you ever had a mobster say, just go in there and collect all the damn money and keep it? Well, then Kim will be the biggest mobster I know, and you just confirmed that, Denny. Thank you, sir. She'll be glad when she hears that she's a mobster, by God.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I also want to go back to this divorce that happened. I know that the divorce laws vary from state to state. I got divorced a number of years ago, and it took about a year. Jan got divorced a number of years ago, and it took
6 months.
6 months. It seems to me that Misty and Ron managed to do it in like 72 hours or something like
yeah.
that.
Hello, St. John's County, Florida. You know, between that and you get over there in the Clearwater area on the other side of the peninsula, they go by fast if there's nothing to be contested. I mean, they didn't have a pot to put anything in. So, you know, and they didn't have a home other than they were living with Ron's relatives. So what was there to split up? What was there to be disputed? They didn't have any children in common with each other. And that was about the most no-fault I've ever seen.
They do have one dispute, and you'll find out about it on Arkansas.com. Sure, it'd be on Nancy Grace. And here is Misty Crosland, Turn Crosland, she's back.
Yeah, it seems like she never really went away, despite the paperwork. And then when somebody said, where is she living? Well, I can't vouch for that right now, but I sure see her a lot.
Shit. Cummings, Crosland. That's like spelling George. George.
But you know, if it was Bob, you could spell it frontwards and backwards, and no one would know the difference.
Yeah. But she's gonna have fun inking her checks like that, because she already had some paperwork in Cummings. Now she's gonna be Crosland. She's Crosland, was Cummings. I don't know. Just shit confusing, man.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Let me just say this, because the circus has gone on again too long, and I have to tell you, folks, that I got on the merry-go-round, and now I'm off the merry-go-round. I made that announcement, some time back about the TV aspect of it all.
Well, I didn't.
Let's find the little girl. Let's find the little girl.
Right.
Let's find the little girl.
But when they started coming up with their own damn news stories and had you up in there, I was looking at you, TJ, because integrity means a lot, brother. And if you're going to perpetuate in that shit, then you shit. I may as well talk to the national boys, you know. I may as well talk to them concerning Minds Want to Know, folks.
Oh, you know, the Inquirer? Yeah.
Yeah, I may as well talk to them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got some differences. I'm not going to badmouth a particular network show, but I'll just say that the headlines were not matching up with the story and content information I was providing.
I wrote every one of their directors down there, everybody. Everybody's got
They got jobs to do.
It said, CNN, the most trusted name in news. I agree with that. But then your partner, HLN, well, we just have to take another look-see there, won't we now?
But the funny thing is HLN is beating CNN in many of their primetime shows.
Rhetoric will, brother. Rhetoric always will.
I don't want to name names, but there was a comment made earlier today by someone who said, I watched Nancy Grace on Thursday. Was there 6 minutes of actual news?
Well, live content, for that matter.
Live content, yeah.
Damn, that's a record breaker.
horrifying.
Well,
so
you
is
find
the
out,
only
let
way.
Me know, because I'm gonna get Guinness on the phone and let them know.
Okay, we're about 1 minute away from losing our feed. Jan,
yeah.
A wrap up. Your thoughts?
Well, I just think that we need to find Haley. I mean, she's the one that this is all about. You know, all of this started out with Haley, and we need to find her and
right.
bring her home.
TJ.
Let's find the girl. This merry-go-round is nauseating. I can't believe I got on it for a while again. You know, but sometimes you go on that little trip to make sure that you're not missing anything that could lead you to Haley. I guess that's still no justification, but that's what it's been about here the last several weeks. Hope to God that something turns up that's very viable, bona fide evidence that leads us to this young girl and leads her home safely.
Amen.
Cobra.
I'm going to ditto, and I'm going to ask everybody to tune in next Saturday at 3 and next Sunday at 4.
Oh, yes. Next Saturday at, actually, it's 2 o'clock, Cobra.
Oh, it is? 2 o'clock. Okay.
2 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be doing a special on the bail bonds industry. Should be just a cracker. And
wait a minute, there's two Floridians on the line here.
and lastly, Denny, your parting thoughts.
Yeah, regarding, if I could jump back to the Anthony case for a minute, I'm pleased with the rulings from the judge. I am a little disappointed about that time frame for February for the defense to produce their evidence, this so-called exonerating evidence. But other than that, I was happy about the decisions, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Cobra in action on the tube. I can't wait for his series to debut.
Oh, we all are. Okay, this is Simon Parrott and Jan Barrett for Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a great day. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, baby.